think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think
class war.
Class war, the end war.
We want to just quickly send a nice friendly message to the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia.
This is an anti-Nazi song.
Welcome to The Rebel Beat, a Firebrand Records podcast. We are your monthly dose of revolution radio, anthems, hymns, and beats to put up a wall of sound against racism, Islamophobia, borders, and the orange menace. My name is Aaron. Thanks for being here. On the show today is a radio DJ, multimedia artist, and an incredible mover and shaker in the global arts community, Sundus Abdulhadi. We'll get to that interview in just a little bit. Plus, we have some Firebrand Records news, our Turn It Up segment, and much more. But first, let's get into it with a brand new one from Body Count, No Lives Matter.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your bullshit history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's anyone who ain't got cash. Poor whites that they call trash.
Was in plain clothes when the shooting happened. He was not wearing a body worn
Yeah. This is M1, M-A-Uno, M-A-Dele-Hente, Comprende, Intende, you feel me? I'm one half of Dead Prez. To tell it like it is, everything is political rap duo. Here holding my middle finger up to imperialism worldwide. And you in tune right now to the Rebel Beat 100. Keep it unlocked.
So omnipotent, world traveler, my father was an immigrant. Earth magical, Chicago to the pyramids. Not in Vegas, in Egypt, the world is much bigger than your block, your street, your tenement. Always remember the little things your mama tell you, kid. When you discover your soul, they try to sell you it. Then you learn love is as cold as a winter is, or as the winter is. Sometimes how the mirror is a paradigm, you can see me off the wall, Palestine. I can't even tell you how long I had to stare at mine. My reflection disappeared and I can hear my mind. This isn't the end, although we had a fear at times. Like love to a fighter, the heart of survival was written in the stars as they guide you from loss to arrival. But can you see the light? Nah, don't worry, we'll be there in time. In the midst, GPS see me so large from the disc. The sonar hit my dome hard in a skip. Sent the satellite to afterlife in eclipse. Bitch, I'm falafely crisp. My sabagos are feeling awfully mahogany skin. I search for models of Jordans, might have bought them at 4 a.m. till the thought of my people cross at the border of Jordan. Ironic how a Paul reader see the future when I am writing out a song reaching for my past. Iconic how we all speak to computers and end up as one. Sleeping earth at mass. If this is the moment to own it, do you work with cash? I'm running low on credit, but could you let it pass? I'm indebted to the veterans that set the path. Yes, I am the answer. I thought you'd never ask.
Welcome back to the Rebel Beat. My name is Aaron. We just heard the track Hey by Narsi featuring Miriam Sassy of Nomadic Massive on vocals. Both those artists are part of We Are The Medium, a predominantly Arab and people of color multimedia platform, which we'll tell you about in just a little bit. We have an amazing show lined up for you today. One thing that's a first on the show is that I interviewed a visual artist for the first time. Usually I just interview musicians. But first we're going to be hearing from Sundus Abdelhadi, a brilliant Iraqi-Canadian artist based here in Montreal and member of We Are The Medium. We talked to her about everything from the urgency of our times to art to even self-care. That's all coming up soon. But first, if you like this show, please support it. We have a Patreon page up where you can throw us a monthly donation. We have some great gifts for people who do. You can find all that info and sign up today at patreon.com/rebelbeatradio. Or if you want to just make a one-time donation, that's all very accepted as well. You can just go to our website, rebelbeatradio.com, and click on the PayPal button while you're there. Another great way to support the show is by buying our beautiful t-shirts and pins. We just got these in hot off the presses. And again, you can find all the info to do that at rebelbeatradio.com. And of course, do follow us on social media. We're at facebook.com/rebelbeatradio, on Twitter at rebelbeatradio. We have an Instagram account now. And if you want to shoot us an email with your questions, comments, music suggestions, or shoutouts, get at us at rebel@ckut.ca. But holy shit, guys. I mean, so much has happened since we last spoke. There was, of course, the inauguration of the Orange Menace himself, Donald Trump, and the incredible protests in D.C., Richard Spencer, that neo-Nazi fuckfart getting punched in the face by an anti-fascist, which was absolutely amazing, Trump's executive orders on the Dakota Access Pipelines and Keystone XL, which will probably push those through in the next few months, his Muslim ban, and of course, an issue that really hits close to home for me was the tragic shooting at a mosque outside of Quebec City, which killed 6 people while they were praying back at the end of January. One thing that was amazing, though, in the wake of that shooting was to see not only how thousands and thousands of people came out to support the Muslim community of Quebec, but also how the music community showed up. In Montreal, we had Narcy and the We Are the Medium Collective organize a fundraiser show called Yusra with members of a tribe called Red, Wake Island, Nomadic Massive, and more. And as we're recording this in Quebec City this weekend, there's the Quebec City Festival Against Racism with an amazing lineup of punk and hip-hop bands. So, of course, in these tragic times, there's always resistance and always amazing art. So we're going to hear a few tracks from We Are the Medium artists, such as Omar Effendim, Narcy, and Sandhill, and then we'll get right into that interview with Sundus, which I think is absolutely brilliant. So don't go anywhere.
Our first impression of Damascus is one of surprise as we notice the modern appearance of the Saraya Square in the center of the city. But our opinion soon changes as we step a few paces away.
I'm to cardamom strong fragrance, yet and still finds attraction. As proud fathers wait for a sweet daughter's face, I'm asking if my brute's heart and language are here. How am I supposed to make myself any more clear? Is clarification necessary with love so dear? So much so that there was no fear. How many Damascene bracelets were sold for this poetry here? Apologizing of the will, I'm wondering if my little siblings can hear. My part's been scattered cross coast for years. Land is on horizon, floating sad at eyes of lost hopes.
Triste de este mundo, y así me siento yo por ti, solo por ti.
And this is how I feel for you.
No.
Devils and demonic ghosts, I battle garbage rapping pros and rapping flows that's apropos until no water's open to them. That's for sure. Identity of Arabness resembling a widow, though. Is there no Festivus for the rest of his history books can show? What will remain of puppetry's originality if so? Many a brown nose and liar gets to have complete control. How we gon' ever write a verse to spit with killers still approach? I bore the burden of my words upon my back until I grieve. What shall remain of poetry when it is finally relieved? The saddest thing in this world, my lady, is knowing that we were meant to be from the very start.
La cosa más triste de este mundo, y así me siento yo por ti, solo por ti.
And this is how I feel for you.
No.
Play. that picture that you're painting of me in your mind?
There ain't no
ain't none left. Knock down house, make build up stress. Ain't no justice, ain't no peace. Ain't no place safe left to be. We got refugees from Haiti to the P, to those fleeing toes freezing wet from New Orleans. We got people waiting for their piece of the cake, and it's a long line of empty plates. From a lake to the bank to the waste, some manila where your waste is. They food shit that you throw away, just consumed with a little bit of regret. Whole lot of not enough, yeah, get your dollars any way you can. When the subjects of this verse are referred to subjectively as bums and murderers, media perverts the scale of the danger to neighbors all nervous. Eye each other like strangers or worse. No justice, so get up, stand up, clap your damn hand, do whatever you can to just speak out, seek out the secrets that leak out, even though they don't want to speak out the way
now. In that picture that you're painting of me in your mind,
there ain't no.
In that picture that you're painting of me in your mind,
there ain't no.
In the pain of a man's eyes hang without a crime to explain, and the tile crowds around for a photo they proud of. But suddenly, subtly, an angel cries his name. They didn't mention this in chapter 8. It's all written in past tense like they passed the hate, and now they paint a rosy picture like the times have changed, like we forgot about the prisons and the crack cocaine. Remember their names, whisper them in recitation shrouded in shame, cause in the end you're gonna meet them on a powerless plane and watch your beaten hand shackled to a towering crane. And we'll indifference, like history needs some Ritalin, like misery sees your system as accessory for pillaging, meant to be the end of it. Whether you immigrant or children of slaves, you can see it in the difference of living conditions, like missions torturing Indians into Christians. We call them Palestinians, we ain't missing.
In that picture that you're painting of me in your mind,
there ain't no.
Forced to write to the cost of life, plus tax, I don't fuck that. Cut them out of the dean, lot of model, they running, huddle among us, stunning with a gun and a muzzle. The struggle for honor, bubble the calm, we got some trouble to calm up. Seek the subtlest armor, speak the humblest karma, the jeeps, the rubble, the harbor. Sock, disorder, recorder, pass the disorders, drafted, trapped, and borders, laughing, brought up modern tactics, Adam and Gamora. When they bought for Dom, should have tossed his moms, of course I'm wrong. Songs of a force to life, torn for spite, talk to mics like Phil Jackson, life to kill death. Device of ill steps to heaven like Israel. Mi'raj in this talk of this rise. Acknowledgement and read this sign. Despite to the plight of an immigrant entitled to live again.
Here in studio right now with an amazing multimedia artist based here in Montreal, Iraqi Canadian, Sundus Abdelhadi. She is a member of the amazing collective We Are the Medium. We're going to be talking about that and a whole lot more today. But first, Sundus, welcome to the Rebel Beats.
It is my utmost pleasure, Aaron, to be here.
All right, I'm so glad to have you on. So to start, we're going to be looking at We Are the Medium. This amazing multimedia collective bringing together artists working on different platforms in a lot of different parts of the world as well. First tell us, what is We Are the Medium?
Well, We Are the Medium really started off as this way of finding that there's power in numbers, and really looking around our independent practices that we were all doing as this community of artists, community of othered artists, if you may, who were doing really, really powerful work independently. For the most part. So, you know, no gallery representation or, you know, representation by agents or middlemen. Well, purely just doing it for the love of the craft. And we saw that there was a like-mindedness involved and also a power that comes with joining forces and collaborating. And by power, I mean it not in like a... I am sitting with on my throne with for the power,
right?
But more as in the power of the message,
mm.
and how all of us joining forces can really strengthen what we were trying to say. Because all of our work was message based in that way. All of our work was critical, approaching things with a critical perspective. A lot of issues of representation, otherness, internationality. You know, all of those concepts kind of strengthening with our collective voice is what made the medium kind of become what it is now,
mm-hmm.
which is a network of artists, like-minded artists who happen to be othered in one way or another from all over the world, multidisciplinary, using different mediums to express their art forms.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's really amazing. Like, I'm looking at the list of people you work with. It's like, you know, for sure, like a lot of Arab artists from all over the world, you know, indigenous people, people of color, many different like diasporas represented. What would you say is kind of like, you know, in French, we have the word fil conducteur, or like the, I guess, the glue that holds all of you guys together?
You know what's funny is it all happened organically.
Hmm.
Honestly, there was no moment where we said we need to represent all of these different denominations of our society. These just happened to be our community.
Hmm.
And people, you know, who tend to be othered tend to stick together.
Right.
We tend to magnetize towards each other, whether it's people of color or people who, you know, identify a certain way. But with the medium, it just so happens to be that we were all, you know, issues of identity happens to be important to the work that we do. So, you know, that's kind of was the glue, I guess, that brought us all together. And that, other than the fact that we are truly, actually friends, like these are all our friends. This is our community. We've met over, you know, a decade, literally, of different, you know, projects and different opportunities to showcase our work, whether it was in a festival that brought international artists together in one place, or whether in Montreal, which is an amazing, incredible, diverse artistic city. It happened very organically.
Mm. So, yeah, tell us about some of those artists. Just give us like a few of the names, people that you work with that you're really excited about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm always pretty upfront about the fact that I come from a very artistic family, and that I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for my mother, my father, my sister, my cousins, and of course my husband, Narsi, who we co-founded the medium together and also co-produced two babies together.
I've never heard that referred to as a co-production before.
Oh, it's our greatest collaboration.
That's amazing.
But... yeah, in general, I would say, you know, like the core members or the core people who have been a part of my artistic journey would be, let's say, other than my parents, my sister and Narsi, and my cousin Nawar, who is also known as Sandhill. So those three core people in my life have always been there when I was questioning my work, when I was questioning my art, who I was, what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, everything. And always felt grounded in their support for my work, always felt super inspired by the work that they do, and collaborated with them on numerous occasions. Tamara and I have a long-standing series that we did together called the Flight Series, where I used her photographs and transformed them into alternative narratives and reimagined her photographs in a different context. Noir or Sandhill, we've, grew up together, cousins, but more like brothers. And I'd say there's so much there. There's so much history. Mm-hmm. And some of the newer people that have come into our lives creatively and as friends, El Cid, Karim Jabari, Buddha Blaze, Nantali Ndongo, Miriam Sassi, all of these amazing people who have really just wowed me and inspired me with their creativity, with their pioneering ability of, their pioneering use of their artwork.
For sure.
Yeah. I would say that we've just been blessed to have had the opportunity to get to know these people who are doing groundbreaking stuff in their fields and in their careers, and we just happen to be witnesses to it, and collaborators as well sometimes.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of those artists you just mentioned who are members of We Are the Medium, like we've played them before on the Rebel Beat. We'll probably play some of their music on this episode.
Amazing.
And, of course, so the Rebel Beat, this is a show about music, politically inspired music. I always love talking to visual artists such as yourself, though, especially like on the radio. It's a really unique opportunity in an audio medium to build a visual picture for the listeners. And so I think one of your projects, though, that you did that kind of like really nicely, I guess, traverses that boundary between the sonic and the visual is Workestra. And so, this is, of course, a series of paintings you did looking at, connections between war and music in a really beautiful way. So tell us a little bit about Workestra.
Okay. So it's always, because I'm such a visual person, it's hard to get a visual to it. But just imagine this. Imagine a man an image of a man holding an RPG. And then close your eyes and imagine that RPG has transformed itself into a clarinet. And then look at an RPG and a clarinet and see how similar they are. Their shape, the way that they're held, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Imagine an RPG, which is not an RPG, an AK-47. Mm-hmm. And then imagine that AK-47 transforming into a trumpet. And then imagine standing in front of, an image with a militant holding a trumpet and then hearing that trumpet and hearing the environmental sounds of the setting that this man is standing in, which happened to be in Iraq. I took all of the images, media images from the period of time after the war in Iraq started, so around 2003 to about 2008, and what I was really trying to do was reimagine how the war in Iraq was represented and how Iraqi people were represented through the lens of the war in Iraq and through the lens of Western media. And, of course, most of the images out there were of militants holding RPGs and AK-47s. And whether, it was, you accept the fact that this was a reality and a part of our history, but that was not the only part of our history. And all of this other peripheral things that and moments and experiences were not documented – that were not documented ended up becoming forgotten, mm-hmm. like our culture, like our heritage, like the rich experience of music and culture in Iraq, and all of that history. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do with Workestra was to change the way that part of history was representing my culture and my people. Mm-hmm. As Iraqi. So I what I did was created a series of artworks that really transformed images of violence into images of culture. So a man who would, there's one piece called the Oud Maker, and in that image, in that painting, I had a man who had his face covered with a kufiyah, and it what and was building something that looked like a bomb. You know, wires and, you know, all of this, you know, the sharp things and strings and wood and all kinds of different objects on the work table. But in fact, he was building an oud or a lute. So that piece is called the Oud Maker. And it's really trying to get the viewer to question their own perceptions of, you know, representation and our own perceptions of what we... you know, how we stereotype. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, thinking about Iraq, it's tragic in a way how it's represented because, you know, of course there's been, you know, horrible war, occupation for decades and decades there. And in the West, of course, the way we always see it represented or hear about in the news is a suicide bombing here, a shooting there. And it's so easy to forget amidst all of that, you know, especially if you're not Iraqi, that we're talking about a place that's like a cradle of civilization, right? A place of so much culture and this flourishing of everything from literature to art. And I guess how do you kind of approach that, like through your art practice in terms of like, are you seeking ways to like open up a new way for Iraq to be represented and to represent itself to the rest of the world?
Yeah, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, I was definitely all about that. It was everything that I was breathing and believing and dreaming. And it reached quite a critical place for me. You know, I'd say... I started feeling quite drained by this constant dream and effort to try to like change the mainstream or change the norm or change the way something is been set in stone. Mm. And I felt like I did my part. I did. You know, I worked on it. I dedicated my whole life, emotionally, creatively, physically, to going to Iraq and recording fields. Recordings, photographing, just like constant. I was living in Montreal most of the time. Well, I was living in Montreal, but I was actually mentally in Iraq. Mm. And it wasn't healthy to a certain point. It reached a point where it stopped becoming a healthy project and it became more of like an obsessive thing. And I had to take a step back and... the last time I went to Iraq in 2010, I had a pretty traumatic experience. It was really, really hard on me. There was a bombing, a really bad bombing. 5 simultaneous bombs went off. And it really catapulted me out of this dream state. And unfortunately, it took a traumatic experience to put a little bit of reason into the work that I do. But I've really stepped away from the whole idea of violence and war and have decided to focus my work more on healing and survival. Mm-hmm. And that was really the catalyst was my last trip to Iraq where I was so optimistic and I was probably at the height of my desire to change the narrative. And when that happened, it just threw me off so completely. And it was multi-layered as well. I mean, the trauma was one part, but then there was another part where I started to feel as an Iraqi, I was not considered Iraqi in Iraq. Mm. So there's that whole other layer of identity and of acceptance and being othered that just, you know, kind of shook me to my core. Because I felt, you know, in Canada, I'm Iraqi, and this is who I identify as. This is what my whole MO is about. And then I go to Iraq, and they're like, "You're not Iraqi. You're Canadian. Or you're, you know, you're, you know, you don't belong here. You're not from here. You don't know what it's like to be Iraqi."
Mm-hmm.
But I had invested so much of my emotional life in trying to, you know, uncover that up to that point. It was intense.
Yeah. And I know that's such a common experience that's, you know, shared by people who kind of have like diasporic identities. I mean, you know, it's like it's almost a neither here nor there because, you know, you can maybe not fit in so well in the homeland. And then, of course, because of racism and xenophobia and other things, and people always prodding, "Oh, well, where are you really from?" It's, you know,
oh yeah, totally
fitting in the new country as well, so to speak.
Story of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned, though, of course, you know, healing and survival, and that kind of brings us, of course, to this new project that you're working on, an exhibit that's, I guess, going to be launched in the spring or summer of 2017. It's called Take Care of Yourself.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well, this has been a long process for me because I mentioned in 2010, after the experience that I had in Iraq, I kind of embarked on my own journey of healing and transformation. And, you know, that's multi-layered. There, it was very personal, and of course, because my art is so much, you know, a part of who I am, it started coming out in my artwork as well. So, for the first step was the Flight series, which I mentioned I collaborated with my sister Tamara, and the Flight series is all about, you know, the impossible, and how flight, human flight, is really the symbol of the impossible, but there's something so beautiful and imaginative about, like, the prospect of human flight, you know, like actually being able to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And it being, you know, flying being one of my earliest childhood dreams. Like, by dream, I mean, like, literally, I dreamt that I was flying, and then I woke up from that dream and thought that it was real. And I believed it for many years. So flying has this kind of childlike, dreamlike quality for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on that project at the same time as all of the uprisings were happening in the Middle East. So there became this crazy, you know, force of change that I was feeling all around me, and then started feeling within my own life, and then started noticing it happening around me and then around the entire region of the Middle East. So I started reflecting in that, and then I wrote this short story called Shems, about a little girl made of glass. And one day this girl breaks into a million pieces and she has to put herself together again. And that story had so much significance for me because it was about what I experienced. It was about my personal trauma. But the way that I wanted to write it and express it, I wanted to make it a universal and human experience. So the whole idea of, like, Iraq slowly started, you know, it's like a zoom out. So, like, imagine we're, like, zoomed into the map of the Middle East and, like, we're on Baghdad. And then slowly, like, the map zooms out and you start seeing the entire Middle East. And then you start seeing, you know, the whole world. And then soon you're seeing Earth from above. And then you start seeing the other planets and space and all of this crazy otherworldly supernatural stuff. And hopefully I'll get there. I don't know. I mean, that's a whole other spiritual journey that I need to embark on. But so that project, Shems, was very much so I ended up illustrating it into a short book, into an illustrated book. And that's where I'm at right now. I finished this project very recently. It's an illustrated book. Nobody's really seen it other than close friends. And I'm waiting for the perfect moment to kind of bring it out into the loving arms of an audience who needs it. Because it's really a universal story about survival. And it's all ages. It's all, you know, although it's set in kind of like an unnamed Arab city, it's a universal experience. And the trauma that the little girl Shems goes through that breaks her is unnamed in the story. So it can be anything from a bomb or war-related trauma to a personal loss, or the range of trauma is so great, and there's no judging which trauma is worse than the other. You know, if you feel traumatized, you should never feel judged for feeling a certain way, or, oh no, it's not that bad, or, oh, imagine what other people go through in their lives, or, you know, there is no limit to what trauma can be. So that's what Shams is about, and then that led into the way of trying to curate a collection of works that are about exactly what Shams is about, which is about empowering yourself. And then it is about coming out of trauma and coming out of loss and displacement into a place of healing and into a place of empowerment and self-care, really. Because you can't get there without self-care being part of the process. And self-care can happen in so many various ways. It's not only the new agey, you know, yoga kind of self-help book way.
Right.
It's so much deeper than that. And I really wanted to find a way to bring it to the conversation and make a conversation about this in the context of loss, in the context of trauma and displacement and the specific experiences of people of color.
That's amazing. So
thank you.
There's a call for submissions that's out right now.
Yes.
And it'll be up, I guess it's the deadline is the end of February.
Yes. It's I opened it up to the various communities to submit work just because I'm interested. I'm interested to see how many people are engaged in this kind of work and how many people are thinking about it. And because I know my community so well and I value their work so much. But then there is this whole other community out there that I don't know about, and I want to see what people are talking about. Because even today's world, you know, social media limits what you see so much. It's all algorithms, so they only show you what they think you're gonna like or what they think you know already. So by doing a call for submissions, what I really wanted to do was spread the call out far and wide into different networks that I wouldn't necessarily reach into. And what I'm hoping to do, although I'm curating a show that's going to happen in Toronto and in Montreal in the summer, I'm still going to create a digital archive with all the submissions because I value that. I value somebody taking the time in their day to submit a work that is personal and meaningful to them. Especially with the concept of like self-care and empowerment and struggle, specifically struggle. It takes a certain amount of courage to put yourself out there. And a lot of the times what I wanted to do with the submission is I didn't want to just reach artists. I wanted to reach people who may not perceive themselves as an artist but are still engaged in this kind of work and engaged in this thought. So the digital archive is going to be a big part of the process for me and a big part of valuing the art, the time and the work that these people are putting into sending their submissions.
All right. So again, we're speaking with Sundus Abdelhadi, a multimedia artist with We Are the Medium, multi-platform artists collective. I mean, it's amazing that we're talking about projects like this, like about healing and about survival, because we are clearly not living in very bright times right now. I'd say the times are pretty dark. You know, of course, it's almost like a whirlwind. Like I was listening to the radio the other day, and one of the announcers remarked, it hasn't even been a month since Trump took office. And the amount of institutional violence that we've seen has been incredible. Although at the same time, the resistance movements against that, you know, people taking over airports and, you know, the tireless work of lawyers and families to fight this Muslim ban has been incredible. But then, of course, you know, with our context here in Quebec, I would be remiss to talk about all this stuff without, of course, talking about the horrible terrorist attack that happened at the mosque just outside of Quebec City the other week. And I'm wondering maybe like if you could just like, yeah, like reflect on this moment. What does it bring up for you as someone who is from the Middle East, as someone who's making art that is so much connected to, you know, all of these things that we're seeing in the media?
Well, speaking of connected, I feel like the only way I can survive this era that we're living in is by being disconnected. By disconnected, I don't mean not conscious or not aware. I mean knowing my limits in terms of how much media I consume. Because I'm really sensitive. I'm really sensitive to, you know, bad news and to the fucked up shit that is circulating all around us. So you'll never find me watching videos from Syria because I can't. I can't. It will literally break me. And I probably wouldn't be able to function for a few days. So I hear about them and I try to breathe through it and reflect on it in my own way. I try to limit how much media I consume. I try to be conscious of how things are also misrepresented and how it's just like, it's crazy. Because when I was first, like when coming to age in like post September 11th America and Canada, and now where we're at, it's insane. Like, it's really crazy. I didn't think, like, when September 11th happened, I'm like, uh-oh, the worst is yet to come for Muslims and Arabs and Iraqis and, you know, all of this. And everything just, like, consistently started becoming closer and closer to home. And the war in Iraq, and then now the Quebec City bombing. It is overwhelming. And being a mother of two children, my defense mechanisms are functioning on a whole other level now. And I want my children to grow up in a just world. And I want them to understand racism, but I don't want them to know about race either. You know what I mean? I want them to live in a world where race doesn't exist. Mm. But I also want them to know about injustice and about what you can do to fight injustice. It's so complicated, man. It is so hard, Aaron, navigating like the parent experience of this whole thing.
Yeah.
'Cause you have to function differently as before. Like before, I could afford to watch a really bad video or, you know, hear some really, really bad news and then go under for like 4 or 5 days and be really depressed and really mad about the state of the world and how fucked up it is and how what we could do to make it better. But now I can't afford that. I can't. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to keep on moving. Mm-hmm. I have to keep on moving and I have to be strong for my kids and try to explain things in a way where they know just enough but not too much, because we're in a too much kind of world, especially with, you know, social media and media in general. It's just so sensationalist.
Definitely.
So it's definitely, I'm in a new phase. I have no answers for you whatsoever. I have no idea what to say, what's next.
Well, you know, I think in a way we also live in an era where we have to be skeptical of answers that come too quickly, right?
True.
Because everything is so boom, 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 you get it instantaneously. There's something to be said actually about what you're talking about, maybe disconnecting yourself just enough so you can sit back and be a bit more like reflexive about what's going on in the world. Because otherwise it's too easy to just like, you know, share this article, share that Facebook post. You know, a lot of us are like tied up in the tweeting and the Facebooking and all that, that we're not actually getting out there enough in like our communities and checking in with people and being like, hey, are you all right? You know, this is some fucked up shit that we're living in, mm-hmm. but, you know, are we taking care of the bottom line? Like, are we sleeping well? Are we eating well? You know?
Yeah, and that's the whole concept behind, you know, the concept. That's the whole concept behind take care of yourself. But beyond that, I feel like there is something really, really exciting happening. And I do believe in energy, and I believe that, you know, that a few years ago that they said that we were on the dawn of the age of Aquarius, right? Hmm. So we're vibrating at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And things can go either way. So it depends which side of history you're on. One of my most passionate ideas is like nuclear disarmament. And if we can reach the point of like nuclear disarmament of the whole world, then I'm going to feel more secure about my children's future, you For know? Sure. Yeah, so basically like little things like that, that I feel like there is a movement happening. I feel like there is a collective consciousness that's brewing. There's so much amazing organizational work happening on the grounds, from Canada to like Standing Rock to all of these protests and America. And, you know, I take them with a grain of salt. But now you have people protesting that would have never protested before.
For sure.
So there is a lot going on, and there is something brewing. And I think that America is definitely going through a crisis right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of scared because it affects me in many, many ways and affects many people in my life and family members and mobility, being Iraqi and Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens. I'm kind of excited and nervous.
Yeah, and I think that's a shared sentiment as well with a lot of people, just almost like wanting to see what happens next in this crazy saga that's like unfolding on a daily basis.
Yeah, and like if it was up to me, I would not go to Trump America. Mm-hmm. I would not. I would boycott that mm-hmm. completely. But I do have a trip planned that I can't get out of. In May, so we'll see if I'll even get let in. I might not. Mm. So
yeah. Well, just because we're running out of time,
yeah.
One of the last things I want to talk about, we are, of course, doing this interview right now in the radio studios of the mighty CKUT Community Radio here in Montreal. And of course, you know, like full disclosure, we are, of course, Sundus and I, radio colleagues here at CKUT. You do a show every Wednesday afternoon called The Groundbreakers. Tell us about that show.
Yeah, well, Aaron, yeah, we go way back for sure. And your radio grandeur has been inspirational for me, honestly. So The Groundbreakers, I've had a show now for, has been on air for about 2 and some years. And the whole idea behind it is to highlight the pioneering work of othered greats. So people of color from all over the world and their incredible groundbreaking work. So that could be anything from like a visual artist, an author, mostly music, because music is one of my passions. And just, you know, creative cultural pioneers that happen to come from the othered part of the world. So a lot of the times I would focus my show on like a cross-cultural, like a cross East and West and cross-generational work by pioneering artists. So I could play something from the 60s by an Egyptian jazz band and then play something from the new release from, yeah, Cairo, more of like electro shabby in the same show. So really trying to find the links between the generations and between different parts of the world. And it's my way of just playing good music and sending out good vibes to the world and highlighting a lot of the important things that I love about radio.
Amazing.
And free expression.
So, of course, our listeners can find that show. You can download it as a podcast from the CKUT website. We'll throw a link up in the show notes for this program. Of course, if you want to check out We Are the Medium, it's wearethemedium.com. Where's the best place if people want to learn more about your work or follow what you're doing?
For sure. Well, wearethemedium.com, and then I have a website that can also be followed as a Tumblr account. SundusAbdulHadi.com is the URL. Instagram, SundusAbdulHadi. I have a artist page on Facebook, but I don't know. I don't trust their algorithm.
You see what they want you to see.
Yeah.
Again, we've been speaking with Sundus Abdulhadi from We Are The Medium. Thank you so much for being with us on The Rebel Beat today.
Oh my God, it's my pleasure, Aaron. Thank you so much for thinking to have me on the show.
All right, welcome back to The Rebel Beat, and thank you so much for being here with this monthly podcast. So we're going to get in now to some Firebrand Records news. Of course, Firebrand Records is our kind of home in the virtual stratosphere. You can check them out. They're an amazing record label, pumping revolutionary artists 24/7, firebrandrecords.com. So first up, if you haven't already seen the new music video / mini documentary mashup from Son of None for It's Like That, make sure you watch that right away. We've got a link to it up at rebelbeatradio.com, or you can find a link for it at the Firebrand Records Facebook page. It is absolutely amazing. You can also expect some new music out soon from Built for the Sea, and a brand new album from Ryan Harvey, Karim Samara, and Shireen. These three artists sound absolutely incredible together, and we had them all on the Rebel Beat as a trio when we first launched this podcast with Firebrand Records last July. If you missed that, go back and find it on our website, again, rebelbeatradio.com. They have a new video out this week for one of those tracks from the new album called Had Ilel, about the revolution in Egypt. Make sure you check out the video, and this is a Firebrand Records exclusive here on The Rebel Beat for the first time. Had Ilel. Enjoy.
Pictures on a cell phone showing God's eye. I heard your heart's broke open, all those bottled up dreams, ideas you'd only spoken were shattered openly. I heard you never would have thought it a possibility that if you push it, it would tie. It just seemed too far out of reach. And then you heard about Muhammad and Sidi Bouazizi, and what a brood up in Mahalla came tearing through the streets. Sudden from the spring, but its waters ran deep. There was a course from which it came. The decades of corruption of giving Israel the green, the jails of torture and oppression, the poverty and pain. I heard the youth broke out in Gaza in frustrated rain. 100 years of history, twisted and contained. I heard it blew across the Sinai, that they struggled as they prayed. I watched as those who sheltered that army sent soldiers to Bahrain. About the war,
so much about the brothers and so little about you. You stood with the Christians to protect the Friday prayers. Who stood with brave men and women to drive the rapists from the square. Who fought for freedom with your brother as he denied you yours. And while his dreams were cut short, yours were ignored. What happens when a revolution returns the power to the few? Or when freedom for another excludes?
All right, welcome back. We are going to round out this month's podcast with our regular Turn It Up segment. This is our segment in the podcast where we look at an artist, community organizer, group that is really using their platform to speak out for justice and against oppression. And this month, we want to give a huge shout out in the Turn It Up segment to a tribe called Quest. Amazing, trailblazing, pioneer hip-hop group. So, of course, they did this kind of amazing breakout comeback performance, whatever you want to call it, at the Grammy Awards. And it was absolutely incredible. If you haven't yet seen the video of them performing at the Grammys, make sure you go check it out. They gave probably what I would say was one of the boldest fuck yous to Donald Trump and his whole administration by coming out on stage, busting through a wall on stage, Busta Rhymes absolutely calling out Agent Orange and the Muslim ban. And of course, Busta Rhymes himself is a Muslim. You know, they were performing on stage with women wearing hijabs, and they ended their set all with their fists in the air and Q-Tip just yelling out, "Resist, resist, resist." It really sent chills down my spine. And I think, you know, it's quite different than, you know, if we look back to just like a couple weeks before that. There was, of course, the Super Bowl with millions and millions of people watching it. And Lady Gaga's like much anticipated halftime performance, where a lot of people were wondering, is she going to use her platform to speak out against Trump? Some would say she did. I would say it was a little bit veiled, didn't really quite go far enough. Was kind of interesting how she, you know, threw in a few lines from Woody Guthrie's song. Although she didn't sing the most potent lines of that song, "This land is your land, this land is my land." So, yeah. Anyways, big shout out to A Tribe Called Quest for keeping it real and really showing up at the Grammys. So we'll leave you with one more from A Tribe Called Quest from their new album. We're going to hear Space Program. But before we go, I just want to thank our guest, Sundus Abdulhadi. Make sure you check out her work and the work of other radical artists at wearethemedium.com. And if you like the Rebel Beat, please support us. Even if it's a $1 a month donation, it makes a huge difference. You can sign up on our Patreon support page today at patreon.com/rebelbeatradio. And thank you to all our Patreon supporters, Bugly, Megsha, Israel, Benjamin, Jay, DJ Kill McKinley, Jesse, Daria, Thomas, Ursula, Andy, Franklin, Frank, Yannick, and Anne. We'll be back next month, and until then, stay rebel.
I want to deal with a bigger insult, man. The heat.
It's coming down hard. We got to get shit together.
It's time to go left and not right. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas. For non-conformists, one-hitter quitters. For Tyson types and shade figures. Let's get it together, come on, let's make it.
Gotta make it,
to make it,
to make it,
to make it,
to make something happen.
To make something happen.
To make something happen.
Let's make something happen.
Word to Viper, gonna bring it to the overlord. Drake and Cisco chilling with the gold microphone cords. And we grip our balls every time we stuntin' on tour. Cause we never bore, responding to the ready crowds roar. And promoters try to hit us with the audible. We about our business, we not quitters, not bullshitters. We deliver, we go getters, don't be bitter. Cause we not just niggas.
Jerobe, my fire wove into different cloth. Ain't nothing forbidden, this nigga kid is written off. Hard to spit in the city, I'll make the spitting kids so confused in the maze. You put your brain, missing lust and planning for our future. None of our people involved. Pouring Henny and smearing off. They get it cracking off. Cracking off and smearing off. Could quickly turn a Molotov. Molotov the spaceship door before that bitch is taking off. It always seems the poorest persons, the people forsaken dog. The Washingtons, Jeffersons, Jacksons on the captain's log. They'd rather leave us to the greatest water poison deli smog. Glass unblackening, it's happening. You feel it, y'all. I'd rather see we need 3x3 structure with many bars. Leave us where we are so they can play among the stars. We're taking off to Mars. Got the space vessels overflowing. What you think they want us there? All this nigga's not going.
My reputation ain't glowing. Reparations ain't flowing. If you find yourself stuck in the creek, you better start rowing. Used to see the TV screen as a place I land my dream. In the car stereo, where they would promote the show. Optimistic little brother with a little hope, you know.
We ain't a space program for niggas. Yo, you stuck here, nigga. We ain't a space program for niggas. Yo, you stuck here, nigga. We ain't a space program for niggas. Yo, you stuck here, nigga. We ain't a space program for niggas. Yo, you stuck.
Sometimes I read the paper every day. All these happenings are secular, just happen different ways. And the president's refined in her wings, she's confined with about 30 Percocets and 5 bottles of wine. Carolina, nothing finer than a black woman who climbs to the top of the state building, claiming that their flag is mine. Now people on top of people feels like we can't breathe. Put so much in this motherfucker, feel like we shouldn't leave. Put it on TV, put it in movies, put it in our face. These notions and ideas of citizens live in this space. I chuckle just like all of y'all. Absurdity, after all, takes money to get it running and money from trees don't fall. Imagine for 1 second all my people of color. Please imagine for 1 second all the people in poverty. No matter the skin tone, culture or time zone. Think the ones who got it would even think to throw you a bone. Moved you out your neighborhood, did they find you a home? Non-cypher, probably no place to. Imagine if the shit was really talking about space too. Imagine if the shit was really talking about space too. Imagine if the shit was really talking about space.
Time to go left and not right. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters, for mothers and fathers and dead niggas, for non-conformers, one-hitter quitters, for Tyson types and chain figures. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters, for mothers and fathers and dead niggas, for non-conformers, one-hitter quitters, for Tyson types and chain figures. Make. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas. For non-conformers, one-hitter quitters. For types and chain figures. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas. For non-conformers, one hit quitters. For types and chain figures. Make. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Gotta get it together forever. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas. For non-conformers, one hit quitters. For types and chain figures. Let's make something happen, let's make something happen. Gotta get it together for brothers. Gotta get it together for sisters. For mothers and fathers and dead niggas.
small step for mankind, but a giant step for us.